Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers Game of Thrones special, episode one. Tom, howdy.
Hi, is this... Would you consider this 73.5 or is this 74.2?
74.1? I'm not really sure. What we usually do is talk about a whole heap of news from movies, TV shows, games, watch some stuff, throw some watching suggestions, and then if it's we get into real spoiler stuff, we throw it behind a spoiler section in a normal weekly episode, but there's way too much to talk about in Game of Thrones.
We are going to be sharper and more to the point than Valyrian steel.
I like it. So we've only got six episodes of this because there's only six episodes left of Game of Thrones.
There's five left now.
One down, five to go.
Only 565-day wait.
We did well. No, I didn't. You know, I think I went a little bit crazy, to be honest with you. I started watching those YouTube videos where they go, what did they really mean when they said this? Or what could the children of the forest possibly do in season eight or seven? Or yeah, and I just, it was too much of a deep dive into too many things.
I just largely stayed away.
You probably came in fresh.
It kept me pretty hype. I caught up some of the episodes last week, rewatched to rekindle. Some of the fire, but yeah, I remembered plenty of it. Been reading the books long enough.
Have you read the book several times? Because I've only read them once.
Once is enough.
Yeah.
There's very few books that I reread. I reread Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good book.
Haven't read it. I only just watched the movie.
Very different to the movies.
Is it really?
Not in a better or worse way, but it's far more about the hubris of man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that.
No, but I must say that going back to the similarities and differences between the books and the TV shows, of course, this has gone way beyond the books at the moment, but people have still been referring back to parts of the book to possibly get an idea of where this is going and where characters are going in this final season. And like I said, I deep dive into too many things and got overwhelmed, but I maybe we'll have a chat about it as we go through discussing the episode as to what I think based on what other people have thought because the books exist.
Sure.
But first off, this episode, what I liked about it is it was doing that, if it wasn't scene for scene, it was definitely homaging the very first ever episode of
Game of Thrones. Yeah, there were a ton of references in there. I think it was intentionally designed to make, tickle the fancy of the older fans. And
which is great.
Harken back.
Made for nostalgia purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Something that we, I think, as fans went in to this season wanting and expecting, and in our minds there was a bit of nostalgia anyway because we were in Winterfell. We knew we were going to Winterfell, first place we ever saw. And suddenly there were all these characters there that we haven't seen together for a long time or have never seen together ever, which I thought was very exciting.
Yeah, there were some great reunions.
Oh, Arya, some wonderful.
Arya had checked off everyone off the list.
Yeah. Who was your favourite?
Gendry.
Yeah?
Yeah. Hound was close.
Hound was close, right?
But
I like the Hound.
Gendry was like, oh, remember when Arya used to be gentle and warm and bubbly and laughed?
She doesn't do that anymore, but she did smile.
She did smile.
She gave a smile to all of us, and I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And that was the closest I think we're ever going to get to a flirt from her.
Probably.
There was a definite flirt that I enjoyed. And I guess maybe that leads to what I think was the most interesting aspect of the episode for me was the little diagram she gave Gendry and said, can you make this? And he said, yes. And I was like, too fast. It went too fast. I know where I can get a good shot of it. The internet.
Mm-hmm.
And along with the shot, I got explanations and everything. And a lot of people think it's a spear, almost Darth Maul-y sort of spear, so it's double-ended.
Right.
But I don't think it said dragon glass on both ends of it. I think it only said dragon glass on one side.
I read something about someone reckons it might be the Westeros version of a rifle. There could be some sort of propulsion system within it and it fires a spear further than a human hand could, or almost like a dagger fired from a spear.
Look, if that's the case, I'm pretty sure she's going to have to explain a little bit more to Gendry because that was definitely not... on the diagram.
Can I give you my top three potential targets of what she's doing this for?
Go for it.
Number one, the one we want is Cersei. The question is, will she be wearing Littlefinger's face or not?
Ah, Littlefinger's face.
Littlefinger's face. I think to get close to Cersei, she's either going to wear Littlefinger or Jaime's face. Jaime's up there now. Things don't look great for him. It's not going to pan out how he wants.
Yeah.
If she took his face, that'd be a really good way. And it fulfills the prophecy of her being killed by her brother.
Yeah, right.
Side note, that prophecy I think is going to be that she's pregnant with Jaime's kid and she's going to die in childbirth.
And I reckon that child is going to be a dwarf like Tyrion.
Ooh.
That's going to drive her crazy. She has to see the baby first. That wasn't my theory. That was a friend of mine.
Sure.
It blew my mind when I was told that.
I have to say, she's pretty conniving to be able to pull Cersei to pull that someone else's baby daddy trick twice. Like, I'm sick of men. I'm sick of having to lay on my men for back for men.
Yeah.
And then walking upstairs and being like, hang on, I can cover for Jaime again. All right.
This is going to work in my favor.
Yep. Sorry. Oh, we got sidetracked. That weapon looks amazing. I'm hoping something comes cool. I did read something with some of the, I believe they're the weapons props manufacturers or something for the show. And
yep.
They were saying that there's one weapon this season that blew everyone's minds and they're excited to see it on screen.
The weapons master is Tommy Dune and he called it a showstopper.
Mm.
So it has to be more than what we just saw because at the moment from what I could see in the diagram, it looks like there's dragonglass spear at the end of it.
Mm.
It can be taken out so that it's a shorter, more like a dagger, like what she's already got. Because needle is no use to her with them.
But she's got Littlefinger's dagger, which was Valyrian steel.
She does. So will that be tacked on the end of it? Because what it looks like is she wants some length. And we know that when she was a girl with no name, she was doing a lot of
bow stuff training.
Yeah, exactly. She was like Morgan from Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. She was like monkey magic. That's who she was like with the staff. So I wonder if it's going to have something to do with that.
My dream would have it. So it's like, remember when Benjen came and rescued John last year and he had the flail, the fiery flail?
That was cool.
If she had a bow staff with flails on the end that had dragon glass burning inside. Swinging that around everywhere.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
What was an aspect of the episode that really got your attention?
I loved seeing the council of Varys, Davos and Tyrion. The old men.
I'm not as old as him, said Tyrion.
It was just, it really made me realise how different the show is now to the beginning. Because in the beginning, those were the men with all the power, or they were at least influencing the other men that had the power.
Mm.
And now the men that had the power are all dead. Most of the women that took the power from them are all dead, and it's the children left. And these guys should be advising the children. But it looks like the best advice they could give them is don't listen to us. We're just peddling the same crap that's gone on for generations and made the world how it is. Try something different.
A little offshoot from that was the conversation between Tyrion and Sansa. They had not seen each other. In fact, I think Tyrion said they'd not seen each other since the pie wedding. Or is it called the purple wedding? I think it's sometimes
it's the purple
referred
wedding.
To as the purple wedding.
Had its ups and downs. Or was it? It had its moments.
I thought that was good. I thought it was interesting that she said to him, I thought you were the smartest man around, and I know you're not.
She spent some good time with Lady Elena.
Yeah.
Remember her? Like that cold-hearted snark. Sansa had the best lines
in that
episode by a mile.
At the beginning of this season, I was worried for Sansa. And I still kind of am because there's going to be a lot of people dying. And the reason I was worried about her is because she doesn't – it's not that she doesn't do anything. She's not a fighter. She's not a warrior. But then when I think about her from the beginning, the whole way through this whole entire Game of Thrones saga, she's been so close and so much in danger of impending imminent death. The fact that there's a whole heap of White Walkers coming at her, I could see her being one of the last people standing now.
I think Tyrion said it best. A lot of men have underestimated you. A lot of those men are now dead. That's it. She's become Cersei and she will survive no matter what.
And I think there's going to be a lot of fans out there who are very happy about that. I used to call her Happy Pants because she used to look just sad and sour the whole time. And then as the seasons have gone on, I really like her.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the faces she was pulling Daenerys.
Not impressed there.
If looks could kill, my goodness. What about, speaking of Daenerys, what about the dragon flying? That's fan service right there.
Yeah, I didn't love it myself. It should have been one of the pinnacles of the entire series. And it felt like a bit of an afterthought. Like, it was great fun, don't get me wrong. But it felt like I was watching How to Train Your Dragon mixed up with, you know, doing the Death Star run in Star Wars, that sort of thing.
Mm.
It just didn't seem to, it didn't have enough hype build up.
And then
afterwards
enough.
They got off and just flirted. No, this, like, you'd be like, shit, man, I just flew a dragon.
But also,
I don't want to make out right now.
But there were so many moments in that that I thought the Dothraki have come to her and said, your dragon's super hungry. I thought she was going to go, John, let's go fly south a bit more where it's a little bit warmer and there's more food.
Let's get some tucker.
But instead they're like, let's go further where it looks super snowy and then they can watch us kissing.
Yeah, John just wants to go to his bone down cave.
We can live there 1,000 years.
Yeah, worked well from last time.
Look, I think what they were going for with that was the fan service and also giving us a bit of lightheartedness before stuff gets really serious.
Oh, this whole episode was moving puzzle pieces around and snipping narrative buds.
And also checking in.
Oh, of course, a lot of checking. But like when I say snipping narrative buds, Theon rescuing Yara was done so quickly. Mm. And her kidnapping last season was done so suddenly that it just seems like they've gone, oh, we can't get to that storyline. Her saying, Theon, you go to Winterfell to fight. I'm going to go home and prepare. We're not seeing her again.
You don't think so?
I think her story is done.
That's
it. Between that and Euron believing he's the father of the baby, the Greyjoys don't matter now. So Theon can go and have his big redemptive arc, reaffirming his place as a Stark, not as a Greyjoy. The Greyjoys are done. And it was done so quickly and simply in the episode. I think it handled it well. I would have loved to have seen more play out there, but it doesn't matter in the long run.
Mm.
So there were a couple of moments like that where theories or, you know, fan stories had gone further. We're not going to get them. That's fine. Mm. That's what the books are for.
If I remember the books, there was a lot of Greyjoy stuff. At one point, it was just Greyjoy a go-go. So many other Greyjoys that have just not even appeared in the show.
But I think they just made it so. Look, of course, other brothers and I think they made it really clear there that he's redeemed himself in the eyes of his sister, but he's discovered that his true family are the Starks in the same way that's where John believes himself.
Yeah.
So he has to go and die heroically, saving someone.
Look, if you put money on Theon surviving till the end, I don't think you can see money.
I hope we do get one more moment of someone mistakenly trying to fight him and knee him in the balls. If there's a moment where he fights a white, or even better, the Night King or someone, and the Night King goes to, you know, spear his balls, and he gets to be like, oh. That would be great. Won't happen. We've had that joke already.
Yeah.
The show that knows more than Jon Snow. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Another thing I quite enjoyed was every what felt like 15 minutes we would see Bran just sitting in the middle of the courtyard.
Waiting for a mate.
Just waiting. What if he's not actually waiting for Jaime? What if he's waiting for the Night King?
That's his mate.
He's just going to be there.
He's hoping Hodor's going to show up.
Oh, he's going to be waiting a while.
Mm-hmm.
But the facial expression of Jaime at the very end was almost payoff for having Bran sitting there looking creepy the whole time.
I have a theory.
Yeah, go. I love theories.
I feel pretty strongly about this theory.
Mm.
So Jaime's come to Winterfell. Everyone's going to pounce on Jaime and want to kill him. I don't know if you saw the preview for next week.
It was similar to Littlefinger.
Very much so.
Oh, sorry, when Arya was standing there, yeah, with the little, yeah.
I have a feeling that Bran has seen what truly happened the night Jaime became Kingslayer. And he knows the truth that Jaime did it out of good for people and good for the kingdom. And that there was the cover-up story and everything like that and tarnishing his good name. I think Bran has seen the truth of that and is going to absolve Jaime of guilt and say, if you choose to fight alongside us, you should, and almost argue on his behalf at that council meeting. I could be completely wrong, but that's just... I would love it if it went that direction.
I don't think you're far off.
I think he's seen that Jamie has a bigger role to play.
I read a little bit of an interview of Bran, the actor Bran Isaac, someone I think his name is.
Isaac Hempstead Waite, I think.
And he was asked about that. And he said he thinks Bran has evolved and moved on so much he's not even Bran anymore. That that doesn't matter to him anymore.
Yeah.
He's more about keeping the living alive. So I wouldn't be surprised if what you're saying now is a prediction. I reckon that's got a lot of legs.
Will Jaime have to slay another king / queen before the end? And will that be Cersei, which we could suspect coming, or is Dany going to go mad before the end? Because there's a lot of questions around that at the moment. A
lot of theories. Is she mad at the moment? She's had mad moments before.
She's definitely had mad moments.
But I feel like she's kind of plateaued out into... Although
I think she's lovesick at the moment, and when she finds out that she can't have John, even more important, when she finds out that John has more of a right to the throne than her, is that going to invalidate the last 10 years of her life or whatever? Will that send her fucking loopy?
Because that has been her one and only true passion, her true drive. And there was
that question to John of, you gave up your crown for the queen, would she give it up for you? No chance in hell she will.
No.
But he's got more of a claim. That might be what sends her over the edge.
How long do you reckon it's going to be until John tells somebody who he really is? I think he's holding off. I don't think he's going to tell anyone for a bit.
I don't see him telling anyone, but Sam's got a damn good reason to now. He is not happy with her. And that unfortunately tarnished John's listening to it. There was no one else that could tell Sam. If Bran told him, Sam and John are more like brothers than John is with his actual brothers.
Absolutely.
All their time as part of the Watch and everything that. And he knows that Sam's not going to tell him that trying to gain anything, that there's no political play or anything like that. It's just a mate telling a mate.
Mm.
But because they did it in a scene where he was upset about his brothers and stuff like that, it's tarnished that news to John. So
you could feel at the very end of that scene in the crypts, you could feel John's like, oh, crap. Like, I was feeling quite good about stuff, even though we've got to battle these White Walkers. I felt like things were in control, and this has just thrown me into some sort of cyclone that I'm not sure I can get out of.
And you think he got three massive pieces of news.
Yeah.
His whole childhood was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
He's the rightful king, like as in right now you are the king.
Mm.
And you're boning your aunt. And he didn't even get to that third point.
He didn't get to the third
point. Processing
bit. No,
wise,
no,
that's going to happen later.
Yeah, when she walks up to him.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, oh.
Yeah. Now, technically, and I'm not saying I condone any of this, but in medieval society and stuff like that, there was a lot of marrying within a family to maintain purity of a bloodline.
Like the Targaryens.
That's right. Not necessarily a brother and sister, but there was a lot of marrying of... cousins and whatnot. So I don't think and a nephew. That's not as bad.
It's not a Cersei
as a Jamie.
And a Jamie.
Yes. But it's still kind of bad.
It's still pretty bad.
When your family bloodline is known for going crazy and burning kingdoms and you've just allied everyone together. Whoops.
Yeah, he's in a tight pickle.
Yeah.
One more facial expression I quickly wanted to point on before we move away from Daenerys.
Mm.
Her facial expression when she was told that the Night King has her dragon.
She's barely registered.
Mm.
There's a bit of a look and then no time for any introspection for her.
I thought she was going to be absolutely distraught. Her dragons have been everything to her. Apart from, obviously, the quest to be ruler of everything.
Lovesick.
Bubbles bursting.
Yeah, blinders are on.
What's going to happen?
Nice podcast. They make them for men.
All right, so let's have a look at moving forward from this episode. Mm. Maybe not exactly episode two, but just moving forward. I'm looking forward to a whole heap of red witches coming along, or red priestesses, whatever you call them. She said she was coming back.
Yep.
And she was going to come back, and this is where she's going to die.
I've seen a poster.
Yeah.
She's on
it. She exists.
Yeah.
She has, because at the moment we don't have the magic.
No.
So I think she's the person that has to bring the magic.
I want something that she's got to come down and bless Gendry's weapons, because he's going to be pissed about having to see her again.
Yes.
But if she comes down and does like blood rune magic on them.
It's going to be great. Couple of theories out there. I don't know how they're going to feel now that we're 5 episodes left, but finding a few more Children of the Forest to bring the magic. I think we have seen the last of the Children of the Forest. I think they've been gone since Hordor.
Yep, when, I agree.
I think instead we're going to get, like you said, the blood magic.
Look, they've got to keep some stuff for the prequel series.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So next episode, what are you hyped for the most? What are you expecting? What are you dreading?
I think Bronn is going to come up and he's got the crossbow that killed Tywin and he's being told to kill Tyrion and Jaime. Nope, the three of them are going to fight together.
It's going to be dragonglass at the end of every single arrow. We also were shown a shot of the huge crossbow that was used to try and defeat the dragons last season.
Yes.
So that, I think, is going to make its way up there.
Yep. Actually, that reminds me. I derailed myself earlier when I said the three targets for Arya, for her weapon. Number one, obviously, is Cersei. Number two is the Night King.
Yeah.
If she's got something that can fire a projectile, then that's one way to take it. And the third one is to take out the white dragon.
Because I want that thing gone.
Yeah, we can't be having that.
That's too dangerous. Okay, so for me, I'm most hyped about finding out more about that creepy symbol they keep doing.
Sure.
Or haven't done for ages. I'm talking about the White Walkers.
Yeah, the Lord Umber.
Yeah.
Splash piece.
Oh, that was Splash piece, that was brilliant. Now, after the episode, I was sort of chatting with my friends and we were like, so what? Where else has this appeared? Like, and I said, was it in the cave where the dragon glass is? And we couldn't quite recall. And I had a look and it 100% is.
Yeah, one of the cave paintings.
I'm also going to throw this out there and say, Gilly, I think she's going to find that symbol in a book. I don't think it's going to be Sam. I think she's going to find it because we got a little moment of her in the last season where she found out about the fact that there was a marriage that had been annulled. And she didn't have the names, but that was obviously John's parents.
Yep.
Or, you know, but it ended up in John's birth. I think she's going to find more out because we've seen her learning to read. We've seen her reading and actively being interested in discovering stuff. We did not see her this episode, I don't think. If we did, she was in the background somewhere.
I didn't see her anywhere.
So we may see her now before Winterfell goes. Or once they've fled from Winterfell, let's hope she makes it. And maybe she's back in Old Town or something and she finds that and that will lead to an answer of how to defeat them.
Sure.
I'm hoping, fingers crossed.
One theory I have. So we met the, I want to call them the Golden Army.
Yes.
Is that right?
Golden Company.
That's it.
I think they're called,
They're going to die so quick.
Yeah. Even their leader was sort of like, g'day. And that's all we saw of him.
Yep, his character has changed a great deal from the books. But if they go anywhere where the books went, then potentially he's a somewhat hapless character. And I don't know, just they changed the character to, I feel, intentionally make him really bland and unmemorable for a reason.
He's only in 5 more episodes.
That's right. And, you know, she thought there'd be elephants.
She was so pissed about the lack of elephants. I mean, elephants are great, but
she brought that up quite a few times.
Several times, and she wasn't even that drunk in terms of Cersei.
No, she's just disappointed. Not angry.
Just disappointed. Just disappointed. All right, I think that's going to do it for us for this episode. Don't forget we've got a weekly episode of all other stuff that is TV and movies that are non-Game of Thrones related, and we'll check back in for episode 2 next week. Tom?
I was told there'd be elephants.